my faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end. It overwhelms me. Covers my sin each time I come into your presence. I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. Savior, you make me whole. You are the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you? Lord, what can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. 'Cause your grace still amazes me. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. Your love Well, good morning. Listen, you ought to be doing jumping jacks after that worship. Good morning. That's a little better. That's a little better. If you have your Bibles, go on and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. This is just a place that we're going to get started. We're going to be all over the place this morning. But Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 be the scripture we use to stand and honor the reading in God's Word in just a minute. But if you remember, I was absent last week. Tracy and I and the kids, we went on a little vacation, just a time of rest. I want you to know we were able to do that, but we were burdened. It's amazing. We were burdened the whole time we were gone. Thankfully that we did get some rest, and we praise God for that. But we wanted to be back here with you broken. We were broken. And so last week, Brad, he came and he shared, and he preached a fantastic message because the Lord has blessed him to be able to preach the gospel. And so thankful for you, my brother. I love you and appreciate you sharing last week in my place. But we started a few weeks ago. This is our third week or third sermon in a New Year's series entitled Staying Positive in 2016. Staying Positive in 2016. So we've gone through a couple of messages already. This morning I want to talk with you about you being an encourager. And it's so important, and it's amazing how God worked all of these details out so that we could have this message preached this morning. God is good. I want to tell you, I just believe that He is faithful, and He knows exactly what His people needs when His people need it. And so we praise God for that. Reality is this. We live in a chronically negative world. I don't think any of you would disagree with that. It's reality. You can look at Facebook, and there's so many things that scroll down negatively, and we just want to delete those things off of our Facebook, and then we find ourselves even talking ugly to those guys that are talking ugly about a certain situation, and we get right in the middle of all of it ourselves. But there are voices of discouragement everywhere. It's with the media, it's on the radio, it's in songs. I mean, we hear it everywhere, and there are moments when we need to be encouraged. God is an encouraging God, and we appreciate who God is. We love who God is, amen? But we need to stop sometimes and just reflect. Because it's a discouraging world that we live in. We get our kids up in the morning, and we start off with, you need to hurry up and get ready. You're moving too slowly. You're going to be late for school. Then when they get to school, our kids hear a lot of the same things. You know, some of them are picked on, some of them aren't picked on, but there's so many things going on. And then we find ourselves that we're right in the middle of it because we got them up and then we got started on the wrong foot ourselves. Don't raise your hand, but how many of does that sound like you in the morning when you wake up and you're trying to hurry up? You're going to be late. I think we've all done that at some time or another. Make fun of a different kind of people when we're at school. Maybe you're that individual that's been picked on at school for no real reason at all. But they're discouraging things that we hear all over the place. Now, I want to be honest with you. It would have killed me to be a child raised in society that we live in now with everything on Facebook or on Instagram. That's an ugly word, right? But sometimes these things are really not good. Because here's what we do as individuals. Our children do this. They take their photo. Here, I can do that this morning. Y'all just follow me for a second. This will be good. Y'all appreciate this. It's going on Instagram, by the way. Oh, wait a minute. I got to turn around. All right, wait, my arm's not long enough. Wait a minute, I want to get everybody. Wait, I want to turn it sideways. Wait, I can't turn it. Here, everybody say cheese. I'm going to put that on Instagram. If you don't follow me, no need in starting because I don't ever put anything on Instagram. But our children, they take these pictures and then they post it on Instagram. And
a real thing is people will begin to like their pictures. I like it. I like it. I like it. You're so crazy. I like it. I like it. I like it. And then someone else does the same thing and they put their picture on Instagram and then they get two or three likes and then they begin to feel discouraged about themselves. It's reality. Discouragement is everywhere. We look for reasons not to be discouraged, but discouragement is everywhere. The voice of discouragement is around the next corner for you. It's coming. Someone is not going to say something that you hope they would say, or they're going to say something you didn't think they would say, and it's going to be discouraging. We live in a chronically discouraging world. And so I want to share all of that with you today is because I believe with all of my heart that our God is an encouraging God. And He loves His children. And He desires that you be encouraged. And so I want to share a scripture with you. We're not ready to get up just yet, but listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6 says. It says this, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest." Okay, now you think about the reality of this past week and everybody that had searched and done everything that they could do in order to hopefully be the one that would find little Noah. No rest. They were going full blast. They were drudging through the thick mud in the forest, moving the branches around in order to hopefully find something that would get us one step closer to resolving the issue. Well, Paul and those who were with him were desiring to go to Macedonia. They had tried and tried and tried, but something was hindering him from being able to come to Macedonia, and he was discouraged. Finally, it says, when he came to Macedonia, he had no rest, none of them. All along the way, you got to understand that they're proclaiming the gospel, and you know when the gospel is being proclaimed, someone is always there to come against it. Always. Because Satan is alive, and he's real. Don't pretend for a second that he's a fictional character. He's strong, and we give him even more strength when we don't honor God with our lives. And so here's Paul and the rest of them. They're going and their bodies are weary. But I love this. Listen, it says, but. Isn't that wonderful? It's like that door that will swing both ways. We're going, there's something negative going on. There's no rest. We're tired. We're wore out. But, the scripture says. Y'all ready? We were troubled on every side, it says. There's no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. This word really, he comforted us. When you're comforted by anyone, the situation really, it's about your soul being, or your spirit being encouraged. Amen? That's really so what it's about. And so that's what we see here with Paul and in this group. They had conflict on the outside. They had fear on the inside. So whatever they were doing, they were pressed in between the two. There, you know how it is that we've got this, that we see the cartoon sometimes. We got the little angel on this side and we got the little devil on this side and they're warring against one another. It's real, isn't it? We experience that in the spirit sometimes, right? So on the outside, all of these forces are coming against us. And then on the inside, because of everything else that's going on around us, their fear begins to set up. And that's what was going on. But he said, nevertheless, they were encouraged. They were comforted, he said, because Titus came. Someone who was going to encourage us come because God opened the door for someone to be here right when we needed the help most. Because God is good at what he does. Listen to me, church, listen. God is an encouraging God. We see that over and over and over again in Scripture. God is encouraging God. But here's a reality. If you are a child of God this morning, say amen. Amen. If you are a child of God, you need not look very far. If you have faith, if you trust in the Word of God, if you trust in the people of God that He uses, you need not look very far to be encouraged because God is good. Last week, I saw something that I had never experienced. I had someone ask me, have you ever seen anything like this before? I want to be honest with you. on no media network have I ever seen the outpouring of love that I was able to see this past week. It was amazing. Amen. God is an encouraging God. If you can't be encouraged by what you saw last week, then you're encouraging is something is stuck somewhere and it needs to get unstuck today. God is an encouraging God. He cares. God cares. And here's a fact. God sends someone to encourage you when you need it most. So that's really not number one, but before I can move any forward, you have to get that. Now, there are three things that I want to share with you this morning. So I want to encourage you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Hebrew chapter 10. Remember I told you we're going to be all over the place. We are going to be all over the place this morning. But the Scripture says this. You know this section of Scripture in Hebrew. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us think about everyone else around us. Let us think about others is what the Scripture is saying. In order to stir up love and good works. Listen to this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Exhorting, calling you into action, comforting you. Here it is, encouraging one another. That's what this means. So, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that is the manner of some, but encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, this morning in the matchless holy name of Jesus, we do approach your throne of grace. And Lord, we do so with joy in our hearts, acknowledging right now that you are a wonderful God. You are the God of all creation. There are no false, pretend, dead, foreign gods that match you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So today we praise you in the name of Jesus. Father, be with this message. As your word goes forth, we pray that it will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. So how can you be an encourager? It's a real question I want you to be able to answer. Oh my goodness, I'm going to be encouraged by taking this jacket off. How can you be encouraged? I know that's a question that we ask ourselves often with everything that's going on around us, with even in our own little world, there's just discouraging things that take place. So, three things that I want to share with you. Number one is this. I want you to get it. I want you to write it down. I want you to understand it. I want you to allow this to sink into your heart. Trust God's Word. Listen, number one is this. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Before you're going to be good to encourage anybody else, you must personally, in the Lord, encourage yourself. I shared with you before, Mom used to wake up and she would tell herself over and over again, I feel good, I feel great, I feel terrific. I feel good, I feel great, I feel terrific. I feel good, I feel great, I feel terrific. I would hear this as I was growing up. I'd hear Mom say this and I really didn't understand it until I got older. But Mom was always trying to encourage herself. Well, there's a section of Scripture where King David finds himself in a bit of a predicament. There's a community that's massively depressed because the Amalekites had come against a kingdom that David was over. The wives had been taken captive. The men had been killed. All of these things were taking place. But finally, David makes his way there. When he does make his way there, the people want to stone him to death. And as they get ready to stone him, he finds a way to get away. And the Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, listen to me, says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. King James Version, that's the New King James, which is what I use. But the King James Version says this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let me ask you a question. What do you think it means to encourage yourself? Think about it for a moment. What does that mean to you? I'm going to tell you what it means to a preacher. Are you ready? It means that sometimes you got to preach to yourself. Oh my goodness, how many Sundays have I gotten up here? I'm preparing, I'm studying, I'm hoping, God, Lord, just let this message be received. I pray that you are honored and you are glorified some way, somehow. All week long, God is beating me up with the message that I'm going to come and I'm going to present to you. This week is no different. I'm going to preach about encouraging yourselves, and I'm going to preach about being an encourager. And all week long, this seemed like there was this oppressive spirit over me as things are going on in my life as well and with our family and situations like that. And I tell you that because I want you to know that no one is exempt from discouragement. The devil is real. Listen to me. And sin has caused all of this. From way back in the garden. So here we are today and we find ourselves discouraged, and I'm studying and I'm hoping and I'm praying that God somehow is going to use this message to get me out of this funk. And so I listened to some old messages that I preached, and I'm going to tell you, you ain't haven't done anything until you listen to yourself preach. It's hard. Whoo! So I've listened to a couple of messages, and then I have to stop and I have to listen to someone else preach because my preaching's not real good. And I'm listening and I'm like, oh, I got to turn it off. And then I hear things that I said and I'm like, did I really say that? I don't preach like that anymore. Lord, please, I hope I don't preach like that anymore. And I'm listening to some of the things that had been said in the past. And I'm like, well, that's even more discouraging. And so, Lord, let me just get in your word, because there's nothing better than getting in the word, right? And that's when you begin to realize that you can encourage yourself in the Lord, just as David found himself doing. He was doing it, but he decided that he was going to some way, somehow spend time with God, communicating with him. God was lifting his spirits. He was doing it. He had decided, he got to that point where he was going to encourage himself. Listen, the key in the Lord. You can't really encourage yourself in any way. I feel good. I feel great. I feel terrific. That's fine and dandy. But if you're not encouraging yourself in the Lord, you're just wasting your breath. So you have to be faithful to find a quiet place. How many of you have a quiet place? How many of you don't have one? Be honest. How many of you don't get it? If it's the car, go out there, turn it on, warm it up, and sit in that quiet place with the Word of God right there in your lap. Get the Word of God, open it up. Listen, don't do this just haphazardly going through. Let's just see. Well, that's a good one. We don't seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's really not a suggestion that you do sometimes. Listen for, there it is again. Okay, all right, so maybe it's not working real well. Troy, I tried, brother. But systematically go through the Word of God, and you're studying all along. And I want to encourage you to do this. When you're trying to encourage yourself in the Lord, listen to me. There are more than 3,000 promises from God in His Word. More than 3,000. That's a lot, amen? All of them are not going to apply to your exact situation. Understand that. But there is a promise from God in His Word that applies to your current situation. And so when you're looking and you're reading the Word of God, and you're searching for something very, very specific, take a pen, take a highlighter, take a pencil. When you find that promise from God, and you believe that it applies to your situation, circle it. Mark it. Write it down. But mark it in such a way that you realize if God speaks to you through that, then write it down so that you understand this is a promise that God is using for me. And you're telling yourself these encouraging things. So I want to encourage you. I was reading this past week, and I came across something that was amazing, I thought. I have a prayer journal. I'm not faithful to write in it every day, but I'm fixing to do better because I came across this past week about being able to encourage myself. I thought, you know, it's not always an easy thing to do, but this is what I want to encourage you to do. Get you a prayer journal if you have one. A 5-year prayer journal. Okay? How are you going to do a 5-year prayer journal? You're not going to write out every single thing that took place that day, okay? But you're going to get you a 5-year prayer journal. You're going to start it, and you're going to say, this is what's going on in my life. Very, very few words as possible. This is what's going on in my life today. This is how God has answered prayer today. And this is what I'm hoping God for the future. Those three things. This is what's going on. This is, and so you work through those things. And then as you're communicating to God, you come back this same time next year. Every day you do the same thing. You calendar it. You say today is whatever today's date is. You put it down there. And you're working your way through this journal. Next year, you're going to come back to that exact same page, that exact same date. Right underneath it, you're going to say what was going on. And then you're going to wonder how God has answered prayers specifically. And you're going to look back and you're going to see this specific thing that you were talking about last year. And then you're going to be so excited because you're going to see that God answered that specific prayer, that right in the middle of you writing down everything that's going on today, there's going to be a shout out kind of praise right there in the middle of your situation, because God answers your prayers. And so that's my challenge for you, a 5-year journal. Don't make it where it's a book, but just a few short phrases that will help you to remember. That way you can keep it all on the same page. I want you to do that because it's really an encouragement file more than anything else. Encourage yourself. Find these opportunities, and then you're going to come back to this next year. That's when it really is going to begin to pay off. Okay? You're going to get back to it next year, and you're going to say, wow, the things God has done. And then the next year, you're going to be 2 years removed from day one when you began this 5-year prayer journal, and you're working your way through it, and you're going to be able to see the last 2 years that God has blessed, that God has answered your cries in a magnificent way, even in the midst of a struggle. Right now, still God is on His throne. You're going to see these things. So this is just a really neat kind of example of how you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You talk with Him through His Word, right? You've got to. I cannot tell you enough how important it is to spend time in His Word, church. I'm begging you, if you want to hear from God, you've got to spend time listening to what He has to say. You do that studying His Word. And then you do that and write that prayer journal. Write it down. And then go back, and God uses other people too. But here's the next thing that I want to share with you. Number one is what? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Number two is this. Encourage others daily. Encourage others daily. If you are a Christ follower, I want to tell you, you are obligated to look at someone's life and pour into them the Word of God. You are obligated to share love with someone. You are obligated to smile at someone. If you are a believer, you are obligated. You cannot be excluded from being an encourager. If you are a Christ follower, you are an encourager. It is in your DNA. Just leave it at that. Okay? And so you have to encourage others daily. It really wasn't a very good day for somebody. Or maybe even it really wasn't a very good day for you. Oh, whatever that situation, well, I left the dishes out again, and Tracy comes home and she's like, why is this kitchen in a mess? It's just an example, guys, okay? All right. I'm sorry, baby. I don't mean to tell on you. But anyway, she comes home and, you know, I've done a little bit, or Caitlin has done a little bit. Caitlin's like, oh, I wish you'd leave me out of it, Daddy. You crossed. Anyway, she's like, she'll put a few in there, or I'll put a few in there, and the rest of them are kind of in the floor and on the table, and they got food still stuck in them. And she comes home and she gets that broom, she's sweeping, you know, take your shoes off when you come in the house. She goes upstairs. Why are the dishes in the floor? It's not enough that they're not in the sink. Why are they in the floor? Why is there food on the side of the wall? You don't even know what you're going to hear at my house. So I'm like, baby, listen. I don't know. We just wanted to see whose pickle could run down the wall. It was, we're going to clean it up. We will clean it up, darling. It may be this afternoon, but we will get it cleaned up. Or why is there ketchup? That's where Ellis threw the corn dog. And so you just don't, but encourage someone daily, because I say that jesting, you know that, right? But there are voices of discouragement everywhere, and you don't know what somebody else is hearing all day long. You don't know. It's important that you encourage other people. As a child of God, it is not your responsibility to beat people up. God can do that all by himself. Your job is to find a way to honor God with a specific situation. Whatever's going on right now, you encourage them. So Hebrews chapter 3, listen to me, verse 13. Hebrews 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily. But encourage one another daily. This is good stuff. Listen. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Just going to go on and tell you, I don't care who you are, that's good. That's powerful. The author of Hebrew, I believe, is Paul. We don't get into that theological debate, but the author says, exhort one another daily. Encourage one another daily. You got it? Encourage one another daily. Listen to me. I don't care what your struggles are. You've got a friend. I don't care what you're experiencing. I love you. I don't care what kind of mistakes you've made. I'm on your side. I love you. I'm going to tell you if you're wrong, but I'm going to encourage you in the Lord. You've got a friend in me. I believe that's a song. You've got a friend in me. Right? I'm going to encourage you. But you're going to encourage someone else. You need to be an encourager. You need to encourage someone. How often, church?
Daily.
It's not hard, is it? We make it hard. It's not hard. And then the final thing, church, that I want to share with you this morning is this. It's one thing to encourage them daily, but what about encouraging them spiritually? Isn't that good? Do you know that it's biblical in Corinthians that God has given every person who has ever called upon the name of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift? Do you know that you were given that spiritual gift for a very, very specific purpose? Do you know that whatever that gift is, however you received it, whenever you... this is what God has called me to do. Somehow, some way or another, you're to take that gift and you're to use it to encourage the believers to continue to move on. You're to encourage the believers to continue to kick their feet, to keep moving forward for Jesus. That's what you received that gift for. It is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, is what the scripture says. That's why you have your spiritual gift. And so when I'm downtrodden, when I'm beat up, you're to come alongside me, and you're to, if encouragement is what your gift is, you're to come alongside me. You are to wrap me in your arms of love. You are to give me the biggest bear hug you can, if you can get your arms around me. And you are to love me in the name of Jesus. Keith, that's what I'm supposed to do with you. That's what I'm supposed to do with you, Troy and Cameron. Any of us who are struggling in any situation we find ourselves, I'm supposed to somehow come along and encourage you spiritually. Well, do you know? This is what God's Word says about that. Or this is a story that I had heard about how God had taken this situation that was completely out of the hands of the individual and turned it over on its back. God hears your prayers. Listen to me, church. He might be waiting on you to pray just one more time, but God hears your prayer. And it might be that you are that one individual that God desires to use to encourage someone in the Lord. How about this? You did a really wonderful job cleaning the kitchen. Thank you so much for blessing me. And as you're sharing that, if you'll listen to the content of the thank you, you can hear that it's a spiritual encouragement. It's always about context. So Romans chapter 1, Romans is such a powerful, we need to do an exposition on the book of Romans. I've never done that, by the way, but it's a fantastic book. But listen to what verse 10, 12 says. It says, make a request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. There's something about faith. Church. Charles Haggard, there's something about faith, isn't it? Something about faith that gets the church excited. There's something about faith when you exercise it, when you believe that it's impossible and then you see God do it. There's something about that moment that your spirits are lifted and you feel like you could do heavenly cartwheels. There's something about faith that when you see it exercised in an individual's life, regardless of their situation, regardless of their struggle, and you see them that moment exercising that faith and they continue to move forward and they continue to put one foot in front of the other. They're continuing to exercise faith and you see it and you're a witness to it. Friends, I want to tell you, it encourages me to no end. Wow. How are they continuing to go on with this situation that they're facing? You know someone like that right now. You know someone in this church like that right now who's struggling with something and you see them stepping out in faith and continuing to move forward. When you see that, it should bring a smile to your face. It should encourage you. Oh, blessed Father, it should encourage us when we see our friends who are struggling. It should encourage us. So, listen to me. What is that gift that God has given you? A lot of different things going on in this point, but what is your specific gift? I can't sing. Oh, God knows I can't sing. But when I hear Troy Kilzer stand up here and sing about faith, it moves my soul. When I see young people up here playing an instrument that my fat fingers can't play, it encourages my soul. When I hear someone pray a prayer and make a statement that I did not even think to say, it encourages my soul. When I see someone teaching a small group class or a Sunday school class and they teach it in a way that is very biblical, it encourages my soul. Church, let's encourage one another. Know this, God is an encouraging God. Amen? Amen? You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Amen? You can encourage others daily. How many of you understand that? You are obligated as a believer to be an encourager. You got that? And then encourage people spiritually. Take what God has given you and use it to bless people in a magnificent way. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know how this year has started for you. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if your guitar strings have broken or if your car is demolished. I don't know if your heart is aching or if you're just kind of in a funk. I don't know this. But somebody else knows, and you might be the one that knows that about someone else. So we're getting ready to have an invitation time, and I don't know what it is that God is dealing with you about, but in the midst of 2016, as we're already off and running, listen to me, you can't go back to 2015. I don't care how hard you try. It's over and done with. So you must decide today that you're going to move forward. So today, if we're going to stay positive in 2016, decide that you are going to be an encourager. We're going to have an invitation time. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I want to encourage you to come this morning. But let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning in the matchless name of Jesus, we have approached your throne of grace. And Lord, we have lifted our voice up in song. We have pleaded with you through prayer. We have boldly proclaimed your word. And Father, there is someone here this morning who needs to make some type of effort, some decision with their life, some decision that needs to be made that says, God, I'm trusting you with it all. And maybe it is that it's me as a pastor, or maybe it's the person that's sitting to the right or to the left or behind them or in front of them, that God is burdening to encourage that individual or to encourage that family. Father, I pray this morning that you would give me the wisdom I need to step out this year to be an encourager as often as possible. Father, but let us never lose sight of the fact that you are an encouraging God and you don't desire that your people be downtrodden, that you don't desire them to be burdened, that you desire for your people to be yoked together with you. Lord, today if we would just cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, Lord, speak to the hearts of those who've gathered this morning as we make a stand for Jesus. For it's in his majestic and most holy name we pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we have this invitation time? Would you come forward today? God dealing with your heart, with the burdens that you have, would you come today? Be encouraged. Be a